Hello and welcome to the 120th episode of a Talking Talkie pod. I'm joined by Sam Durriff.
Evening.
I'm joined by Stephen.
Hello.
And last and not least, who are we joined by?
Matt Parker. Yeah. My name on Zoom is slightly different.
I want to start this by saying that is the smoothest intro we've had, Swanee, so thanks for that.
Yeah,
excellent. Yeah,
I practiced it a lot in the mirror. Right, so we're here to review... a season.
He is starstruck because he's with the radio host, but
yeah. So where do we want to start then anyway? So should we go back to this kind of where it went wrong this season, or what we all think, or from last summer, if we look at last summer and what we need to learn and not repeat this summer?
Jareth,
where do you reckon, what was the point in this season when you thought, hang on a minute, we're in a bit of trouble here?
Two answers. The one answer I give to cover any failings of Talk United in the last 5 or 6 years, I'll continue to give until the problem's gone, is when we went into the season with an ownership who don't care about the club, and with an owner who doesn't go. I'll say that. I think until they go, I think the long-term conversation have a little bit almost redundant. In the football sense, where did it go wrong? I think gambles didn't pay off in the summer. You know, we signed players that you look at it, on paper, and I think we'll all agree that we should all admit that we were probably all excited by, I think particularly McGavin and Crowe, who have let us down. I think a lot of people, and the one who's ended up being the best player in Aaron Jarvis is the player that a lot of us probably thought, looks okay in his highlight clips, but he hadn't done anything. You know, he hadn't done anything for Scunthorpe, and he's the one who's turned out to be signing of the season. Gambles were taken in the summer, and they just didn't pay off in the slightest.
No, we signed a couple of guys from clubs that have been relegated. One from Scunthorpe, who relegated from League Two, and he's done really well. And one, Hansen from Dover,
and that was on a fee as well. You're right, Sam. We gambled, because we for ages were going, oh, why are players not 1-2 year deals? And when you're sort of our sort of club, you have to sign younger players, develop them, and then hope that they do like what Armani Little and one of them, I Evans, or I'm sure McDonald sort of players do. Also, we didn't get a fee for them. We've got a fee for Joe Lewis, and then mix them with experienced players. The problem is, I don't know whether it's a mentality thing with these players, which we can go deeper into, because I do think players like Brett McGavin have talent, but they just absolutely were nowhere near the level. I just couldn't get over it, really. You know, players like, I think the problem with, at the start, I was defending them a lot because I was saying, people just expect Brett McGavin to be Armani Little instantly, and that's never going to happen. And that sort of caliber of player. But there was just something very off in that sort of group of players that we signed, just mentality-wise. I mean, it just took Dawson to come in later on the season to realise just someone on the pitch, and it's not just an experience thing, just when one person does a bad pass, he's going, no, come on, you can do better than that, or point in a way that you can do it. There was just every time something happened, those sort of players just didn't seem to kind of have the sort of mentality to get through it. They all kind of looked at each other and tried to pass the blame, I almost felt, on the pitch. I don't know if it's because they've come out of academies. I don't know if it's because they're away from home, because a lot of them are London-based, or that kind of part of the country. I don't know.
It's not talent, is it?
Yeah.
It's like, in terms of the guys that came in later in the season. Hmm. Dawson, how much more talent can he have? Can't get a kick for Gloucester City in the division below. How much better can he be than Marshall, McGavin, Hanson, any of these guys in terms of raw talent? It's probably 6-2-3s. You know, it's a fag paper, a coin flip, whatever. He's not that much better a footballer. He can't be, right? So it has to be attitude. It has to be application. It has to be that footballing brain that kind of says he knows just what to do. And I think that bears out in the way that Johnson has spoken about different distinct groups within the whole group. over the summer, or in, early on in the summer as it is now,
yeah,
where he's kind of, even from the retained list, it looked very much to me as though we had old group, these idiots we're going to try and get rid of, and the new guys that we're really going after.
Yeah, no, it was interesting, wasn't it? I was like, I'm delighted to say that Sean McDonald and Aaron Jarvis are here. Also later on in the paragraph, Dylan Crowe, McGavin, Hanson, Marshall, they're on the contract still.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. Unfortunate, you could almost hear the unfortunately they'll be here next season as well.
I completely agree with what you just said. I think because, like you said, they've all individually got talent. I mean, look at Dylan Crowe. His highlight, I know highlight reel is a highlight reel, but he's been linked with proper football clubs. You know, like you say, you don't just become a bad player for moving down to Torquay. No. But I always got the impression that Johnson kind of stuck with them and stuck with them and stuck with them. And all of a sudden, it's like, do you know what? I can't trust you in grown up football. You're just not up to it at the moment. A wise man said at some point today that Dylan Crowe could come good next season.
That would be
me. I frustratingly agree. He's a sort of player that actually, if you put him in a side, perhaps Brett McGavin as well, but if you put them in a side where you've got, you know, a Kevin Dawson who is kind of who we've needed for a little while now, a bit of a bastard in the middle. Mm-hmm. And you've got a goal scorer and you've got a goalkeeper that can actually, you know, keep it out of the net. I think if you've got a good centre back, all of a sudden you've got a good spine of a team of actual adults, you know, grown men playing in a men's league, that if you put a couple of those youngsters in, they might adapt to it. I think the problem at the start of the season is we're playing too many of them. They're all young. They're all inexperienced. When it doesn't go well, there's no...
Yeah.
It just seems... And, you know, I'm not saying there's no one experience. Obviously, you've got Acer and Moxie in there, but I just think it was too outbalanced, maybe.
Yeah, especially
I think the disappointing thing, I have to say, like a lot of fans, McGavin was the one that has really disappointed me this season. I don't particularly like singling people out like that. But I think looking back at the summer moves now, I was excited about McGavin. I thought Hanson looked like a solid signing as well. And I thought, you know, decent backup to Hall and Lapsley, and I actually kind of felt we were overstocked in central midfield. Turned out, we were overstocked in central midfield with some poor players, and the intention was very likely. I know we were talking earlier in the season. The intention was very likely to make sure that Acer Hall played 10 or 15 games and saw out games when you know we needed to get them over the line. As it happened at the end of the season, he you know, one of the first names on the team sheet again. You know, dragging his legs around trying to keep it going. I don't know how many different central midfield partnerships we've done this season, of partnerships or trios, but we weirdly found ourselves overstocked in the middle, but with players that didn't quite fit. I feel like McGavin, he's one I'm perhaps maybe a little bit more worried about in the Conference South, is that if there's one thing Johnson likes in his teams, he likes them working hard and running, and he can't bloody move. He's got an all right foot on him. He just can't move. And I worry that in the conference, that might be more exposed with teams just trying to kick the shit out of him. Mm. I mean, it might be that we have more control of games and he feels like he can get on the ball more, but going to be a very interesting transition for him and to see if he's still at the club, A, at the start of next season, and B, if he's getting any minutes.
Always looks like he's running through treacle, doesn't it?
Yeah. And there was like moments where like, the South End, like, it's really frustrating because as soon as you thought you were in the corner, it just dropped an absolute disaster class. I remember the game before the Dorking away one, he played really well, and then he went to Dorking. He literally, every pass was going astray. The South End game as well, where he just didn't look like he tracked his man. For me, though, of all of them, again, like Stephen, I don't like to single them out. One that's frustrated me the most the whole season is Ross Marshall. Because there's a player there, but he's so erratic and just stupid mentality-wise. Like, well, he got sent off twice. That Dagenham game was surely was the last straw where he's just gave away a penalty. And then at 1-1, he's gone run up and he's just completely charged out of position, lost his header, and then they've scored a weak goal pass instead. And he's never been seen since. I mean, how many chances did he get? It's just, I haven't seen a player not read the game at all, but then be strong in the tackle and all stuff like that. But then obviously you think players like that would improve over the time, and a certain aspect is the players themselves. Like, they've got to realize that that could be like it for, in professional football full time for them. If, you know, one thing, yeah, Dylan Crowe was linked with what Man United years ago. That goes very quickly as soon as you put a few bad moves in. And I fear, you know, conversation for a bigger debate, it's been talked about a lot, but sort of the generations now that are coming out of academies, not saying all of them are, but it's kind of I'm a footballer kind of thing. I'm a level above like Torquay United and all the lower league teams that comes out. I'm not saying it is with these individuals, but is this going to be a problem we're going to see a lot now over the next 10, 15 years when we're signing players straight out of academies or just straight out of sort of a few loan spells and they sort of come here and they've got a sort of attitude? I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose the flip side of that is that we have like clubs do see success. I mean, I don't, yeah, from memory, Carl Cameron hadn't played particularly many games of men's football, would he? And I think it's all going to be about mentality, like you say, Swanee. Yeah. And
you could tell McDonald and Cameron had a good mentality. Swanee off. That's the difference.
And Johnson as a manager, I think I think maybe sometimes people are a little quick to tar him with an old school brush, but I do think in terms of talking to the players, I think he's good at talking to the players. But I do think he wants them to take personal responsibility as well in terms of. I'll try and improve you, but you've got to put the work in. I think he's that kind of mentality, and this is the issue we've got even more this summer that we're going to have to try and learn our lesson from is that we're once again, like last time we were in the Conference South, is we're really scraping the barrel in terms of professional footballers. You either try and shop at the top end of a semi-pro player, even though we can't offer them a wage that would improve their living standard from earning, I don't know, 400 quid for kicking a ball around for Taunton and having a day job. We haven't got the money to take them out of semi-pro football. So we're stuck with the bottom of the barrel professional footballers who we're going to need them to work hard. We're going to need them to dig in because we want to go up as well. So you've got to have that ambition as well.
Would you argue, though, like a player like Cole Cameron and a lot of the lads were coming that season in the South originally, if they had gone straight into the National League, would they now have the careers they do? Or that season down in the South, you know,
great
Lemon
question.
Evans.
That is an excellent question.
Great
like
question.
I think would they have had that?
Well, that's the thing. If we'd have signed those players going into this season and we'd never seen them before, we'd be very excited. I think, great, we've got some young talent coming in to complement what we've already got in experience. And they'll probably be thinking, you know, I'm not sure what the brief was last season. John's, in public, he's going to say, yeah, we're going to go for it. But, you know, they must have thought, you know, fuck me, the league looks good this year. Or like, you know, we're not going to compete with three or four teams. Whereas if you go into next season, the thing that you'll be saying to players is, you will win this league. There is no other option.
Yeah.
If you don't win the league, we have failed. I'll say it now. If we go up through the playoffs, we have failed next season.
Yeah.
We have to win, especially because Yeovil
look like they're in a state.
Are up shit creek without a paddle. If we don't win that league, it's an absolute failure. And that will be on the club or Johnson's head. For me, that is the only acceptable thing that can happen next season.
Yeah.
So, you know, if those players came in their first season, they won a title, imagine the confidence. You know, Carl Cameron is a great example because he came in, he'd had a bit of time at York, he'd done a bit, played a bit of football here and there, but he'd not done loads of first team football. And let's be honest, he wasn't head and shoulders above at the start, was he?
It wasn't until Johnson told him to put contact lenses in so he could have a football properly that he got really good, you know.
And I always thought his natural position was going to be left wing.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly not centre-back, is he? Despite the fact that that's where he got into the National League team of the year today, just to chuck that in.
I think it is a good question, Swanee, because I think What Johnson's going to have to, because a lot of Torquay managers on this podcast that we've had, even back to Leroy we've had on the pod, they talk about having to sell Torquay and sell the move down here. What he gets to sell now is look, have a great season. We're going to be winning the league. We're going to be sauntering around. For the likes of Jarvis, I mean, I'm sure others will talk about whether we're going to be able to keep him or not. but like he can sell what happened with Reedy, basically. Like, look, go and notch 30 goals or whatever he bloody did. And then, look, you'll end up, did Stevenage in the playoffs, or they go up automatically in the end?
He stole the goal that got them.
Yeah, so now he's a League One player. I mean, with Steve Evans, but we'll talk about that another day. But you don't want to sell Steve Evans to anyone. But, you know, you can sell that. Like, look, we'll develop you as a player. We're going to win a league. You're going to saunter around. But we're going to work hard to do it. And we're, you know, and then when you want to go Football League, we'll let you go. Although I don't know if we let Reedy go, but he had to go, didn't he? Yeah.
If you sold Steve Evans, you'd have to confirm that shipping was not included.
Yeah, but I think it's a good point because on your CV, all those players in the South, like Cameron and all that, they all have a title, and not many players even have a title in their career. So, you know, it is an interesting one. And with these players, obviously, they'll talk about later on in part two, but if they do stay and they do all of a sudden get their act, and, you know, they sit in the summer and they really think, right, oh, hang on a minute, if I want to be doing this full time for a good few more years, I've really got to get my act together, you know, or do I just want to just not do it? You know, they've really got to sit and think to themselves now, it's all, and think what they want in their careers. And that's on them now, to be honest.
That's the tricky thing. So I'm just taking it back to the original discussion point of where it went wrong last summer. I mean, yeah, not enough play. Like I look back at the squad list at the start of the season. I don't recognise half the players. And there's one universal thing in National League seasons is that the teams that use the most players tend to be near the bottom.
Yeah, like our season.
Yes, yeah, the Torquay fan stats have run the numbers on that, and we've used something like 46 players this season.
I can't even remember half of them, honestly.
No, well, those shirts came out today, the shirt auctions today. I'm looking down this list, like, these are not Torquay players, they're par. And it turns out, like, I've been at games that these guys have been on the bench, or they hardly came up. Ishiguan.
Yeah, I think it's ambitious. It's ambitious to put a 50 quid reserve on a Torquay United Isiguan shirt.
Yeah. Come on now.
One example, by the way, what we just talked about, Lolos. So obviously wasn't National League standard. A few of us said, oh, he needed a season in the South. What did he get? 15, 16 goals? You know, Oxford City this season. All of a sudden he's got that confidence back because it's all about momentum in a football career. As soon as you have your kind of loans that don't work out and you slip them down and then you turn up for Torquay and that doesn't work out. He just had to get his head together in the South and now he could have a successful full-time career. I think
my worry with that is that Johnson seems to have a little bit of a blind spot for some of these players. I mean, Billy Waters, we never properly got firing and then he went off and hammered it elsewhere.
I mean, Josh Umair is the biggest example ever. That I will never get my head around that.
Yeah, like, I mean, even... even Manny Duku went off and scored goals somewhere. I mean, I can't remember which goal it's.
Yeah. But the thing is, isn't it like, if you think of those ones, like Billy Waters looked like a good player. I think it was just a case of.
He didn't have a pre-season.
Yeah. And also, we've built a system around Danny Wright and that worked. Yeah, when Billy Waters kind of played, he's the polar opposite player. He's almost, you know, you want him
to
play.
It worked a bit that second system, didn't it? With, what's his name? Another striker.
Bowden.
Bowden, yeah.
Yeah, but then you look at, like, I will give Johnson all the credit for not sticking with Umera because he was one of the worst strikers I've seen. Like, he
that
was...
County going
on. Yeah, that was absolutely appalling footballer. So, I mean, fair play to him for turning it around, but I think we were all kind of thinking, well, there's no way we keep him.
No, I'm not saying, like, I think there were some who were not happy to see the back of Billy Waters, but some understood that. I just think that there's something going on there, that there's a certain type of striker that Johnson can get going, and there's certain ones he can't, and Dolos just never got going. I mean, we never saw anything out of Corey Andrews. I know he couldn't really settle in the area and stuff, but we need someone who's going to hit the back of the net, whether we're going to keep that with Jarvis or not. We just need to make sure that we learn those lessons in terms of, you know, recruitment for sure.
It's interesting what kind of, because at the start of this season, it was very much we're going to be a defensive team. We're going to play 3-5-2. No, we're not going to sign enough wing backs or any wingers in case it goes wrong. And it's going to be behind the ball football. Where this season, let's be honest, we're most probably going to have the ball most of the game, and teams were going to come back and sit back against us. If there's anything like last time. And then what was it last time? It was a 4-4-2, just really nice expansive football last summer in the South. So it completely changes the kind of mentality of the sort of player we sign. We just need pace. We've set for a couple of years. Where we've gone wrong the last two seasons is a lack of pace consistently.
A lot of these little loanees we've brought in, they've been okay. Duke McKenna and Aguiar, Aguiar, however you say his name, the other guy we had.
De Silva was such a weird one because
De Silva, yeah.
His stats were really good, but by the last month, he just couldn't do anything. He couldn't beat a man. He couldn't put a ball in.
I never rated him. I did not.
He was rubbish.
He was awful last month.
We liked him a little bit, but I think that was probably because he was the only one with any kind of flair at all in quite a turgid.
But as soon as fullbacks worked out how to stop him, he was absolutely just couldn't do anything.
Yeah, it wasn't long before, as you say, he was completely worked out and he had one trick. He's like a non-league Anthony.
Yeah,
he got one trick, looked brilliant in his first three games, and then squads had like video of him just while he's going to cut in on his left foot to stop him doing that, and he's got literally nothing.
Mind you, if this isn't going to be something that's covered by the other pod, but I think he has been released now, hasn't he, Dylan De Silva? I wonder if he's the type of player that Johnson might dip his toe.
I would take him to South. I do say that possibly. I would.
I don't know if I would, if I'm honest.
I'd rather have Jack Stobbs.
Yeah, definitely. I do have Jack Stobbs. He's a Johnson like wing back or winger, isn't he? To he just works hard. I do like him.
I'll tell you what.
But he's a good lad. He's a good player.
In terms of other times it went wrong, if I had to pinpoint a 90-minute game or the end of a game of football, for me, the one that finished us off was Dagenham.
Yeah, that was horrendous. Ross, you know, Marshall and Halstead that day as well.
If we save a point against them, I just think it gives us that little bit more. But I think for me, that was the way we threw that away. And I think the fact that a little bit of luck, I mean, I wasn't in my usual spot. For those of you who know where I stand, I'm not saying I'm here because I can't sign autographs all day. but for those of you who know where I stand, I wasn't there, so I was at the other end of the, well, on the halfway line actually. But I don't think Nublé's goal was offside. I don't know why it was disallowed, and it's little things like that. If that counts, we win 2-0, and that 3 points keeps us up.
Was that the game with the inexplicable like tracking of their man goal kick at the last minute?
It was when Marshall got a penalty and then he ran forward from a goal kick and then Lawrence fell over and then Halstead just gave up.
Yeah, I blocked that from my memory.
Walking away absolutely like these. They have no mentality. They're pathetic. They're awful. I can't stand watching them. And then they won 5 in a row after that game.
For me, I spent a lot of the season saying we are not in the four worst teams in the conference. And to a certain extent, I still believe that.
Yeah. I think you're right. We're not in the four worst teams. Well, we're not in the four best because we're not in the conference now. But you're right.
But the point, so even at Christmas when it was looking pretty poor, I was like, look, we've had some bad refereeing decisions. We've had some bad luck. You know, it'll come good. I think the bit for me where I was suddenly like, I think we're actually in some real trouble, was losing 3-2 at Dorking.
Yeah, that ruined a lot of things.
And I was just like, I don't know if they. And then to follow that up with successive 2-1 defeats to Southend and Bromley, it was
when we just found a way to lose. You know, for me, the actual results. So I feared in October when we couldn't beat Scunthorpe, when they were terrible. Well, they still are. So were terrible. And those we had like a run of games, and we were still there. At Christmas, we lost at Yeovil, and it was really frustrating at the time. Because I was like, "Oh, we're 2 or 3 points behind and all that." Yeah, but teams will pick up, and they did. But I'll call out. So I thought I was captain pessimist, but my dad on the second game, it was his first home game. We lost 1-0 against Bolton Wood. I remember I thought we were great that day. To be honest, we were just unlucky. Corey Andrews and Goodwin couldn't score past Ashmore. But he actually went, "Oh no, I'm fearing relegation here. They all look so weak and sort of this." I just don't. And I was like, "No, don't be silly, guy. You're so pessimistic. Don't be
fire
silly.
It up."
Yeah, yeah. Follow Johnson won't sign players like that. We're gonna be fine. It'll all come good. Andrews will start scoring. Okay, maybe get one soon. And then yeah, so it's funny how different people see it. But no, yeah, I think you're right. The Dorking game was the one for me.
That was the one that made me think we're in trouble. Yeah. And then I think like Drew, if the Dagenham one, I was like, okay, they haven't actually got this in the locker.
I went a bit earlier. My concern was from the Oldham game.
Yeah, that was terrible.
I was at that. It was on TV, but I was at it. It was freezing bloody cold.
That day. Oh my God.
It was crazy.
Didn't Crowe's own goal, wasn't it?
That own goal after 5 minutes. I mean,
Halstead made loads of saves that game, I remember.
But he should have just fallen on that. Halstead, ball goes about a yard in front of him at 2 miles an hour. And for absolutely no reason, he stands and watches it roll past him. Then Crowe thunders it into his own net about 4 million miles an hour.
Think with that, though, if I'm not just doing this to defend Halstead, but if Crowe has shouted for that, you as a goalkeeper, you just have to trust your defence.
Whatever has got, I don't
trust
know
them not to thump it past you.
Yeah, I mean, you just think
the whole thing, and then to get it back and then go behind and then get it back and then just throw away within 2 minutes of scoring every time, just throw away another goal. Oldham were not any good at that point. I know they ended up being quite good, but at that stage, they were fucking useless. They weren't any good on a day.
They were, yeah.
Found a way, same as Yeovil away, we just found a way to lose a game.
Yeah, I think that's the thing of the season. We found ways to lose. That's just it's mad, isn't it?
It's just, you know, it was just the same like Gary time, you know, where you found a way to win a game. You just knew that we were going to, as soon as we scored, same as Dorking that I know we've mentioned, you know, the minute that whoever it was got sent off, and they were going to score two identical, unmarked far post.
That for me, again, Ross Marshall, he's a centre back who can't see a cross come over and lose his man. I just don't understand how you can give it all on Johnson in that after a while, and it is his responsibility a lot of it. But when a professional player and your centre back's doing stuff like that, you don't.
Yeah, there's only so much the manager can tell him.
Yeah, that's like playground stuff. You don't just watch this ball come over like that. And the amount of goals, and was it the Bromley one at home when Alstead and Donnellan just panicked? And it's just things like that. You can't lose. And then, but then the same team found every way to win for 5 games, like a playoff team.
Yeah. And we were winning those games really well as well. The scores often didn't. Like, if we'd have beaten Maidenhead 6-0, you'd have gone, can't really argue with that.
I think we could have pumped York as well, but that was only 3-2 in the end.
Yeah, that
was one of the best games I've ever watched at Playmore this season, that Talking York game.
You could just tell those kind of games, though, that's when you almost feel like with the Maidstone one, it was a little bit like, fuck it, see what happens. Whereas when it got to the point where you're like, oh, actually, we've got a real chance here, I think that's when you could tell in the York game, they're almost a bit, hang on, we've got 10 minutes left and we're 3-1 up. Don't we usually fuck it up here? How are we going to not fuck it up? What do we do?
We're almost there. He brought Omar on, didn't he? And that almost went terrible.
I'm not going to take anything away from part two, but how fucking good is it that we haven't got him on the books anymore? Honestly, that was an experiment that failed. How he managed to squeeze another year of earning money out of Talk United, I do not know. A lovely kid, I'm sure, but fuck me.
So just to take it back to that run towards the end, which I know we all, I mean, that feeling after the final whistle went at York, like against York, I was just buzzing.
Yeah. Do you know what? I won't lie to you. That Aldershot result, I saw Aldershot beat Scunthorpe, I went, I think we're down here, because I still think that's so much to do after 5 wins at Chesterfield.
That's what I said to my mate when we left. I was like, that was the game we could have got out and it's just gone against us.
Yeah.
But do you think, I'm particularly interested in Drewiff on this, because he said about like them just kind of having free hits at teams like Maidenhead. But like, do you think the pressure of that Chesterfield game, do you think that was just like, oh my God, we actually need something out of this if we're going to do anything? And then that just fucked it.
I think
we're knackered as well.
Yeah, I think there could be a bit of that in it. I think it almost got to the point where it was do or die in that game. You know, if we lost, and it don't get me wrong, if we'd have lost by one, the goal difference might, you know, might look to the goal difference, might have still a chance. But I just think it was about points on the board and coming away from there with a loss. I think they knew that, because I think deep down they knew that if they had to, they could win at Altrincham. Even though we didn't, we so nearly did, not, you know, what, for a penalty in the last minute. And yeah. I listened to it. By the sounds of it, any other day we win that 3-0. Matt, you were there. I don't know if you can...
Yeah, no, absolutely, definitely right. I mean, it was a little bit... I wasn't all that concerned, really, when we went a goal down, because we looked much the better side. They scored with just a pump-up field that we were all 11 of our, or the 10 of our outfielders were in their half. Their guy got it, just smashed it up the field. Their mate, he went roundhouse, they tucked it in, like, smash and grab 2 minutes before half-time. It looked a bit worrying, but we always looked in control of the game. We weren't, it wasn't really end-to-end, it wasn't really 50-50. We looked in total control of the game. So it was no surprise whatsoever when we got 2-1 up. I mean, you know, you're quite right. Like, the ball that they play up the left-hand side for their goal, for their penalty, Nico Lawrence inexplicably tries to go and win a header when all he's got to do is just stand still and the guy will either get it and bounce it out of play or it all comes in, whatever. So he goes for the ball. The guy misses it, gets in behind. Asa Hall is forced into fouling the bloke. But, you know, we could very easily have won that game.
Oh, yeah, that Altrincham game, I forgot. Yeah, that is the moment where it's like, that game was ridiculous.
And if anything summed up the season more than being in total control and copping up a 91st minute penalty that Halstead didn't even dive for, I don't know what it is.
Just the manner of the defeat to Chesterfield, like I for my sins, I bought that to watch it, but what a waste of a tenner that was.
I did a live watch along thing. It was horrendous. Worst thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been 4-0 up before they scored, couldn't they? Put four perfectly good chances straight at Halstead, and then they scored with the fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth. And that was, but in fairness, they're a really good side. I think they'll probably win.
I expected to lose it. It was just the manner of it that killed it. Like, yeah, the goal difference didn't
help. Should have been nowhere near a football pitch that day. He was in no shape at all.
No, he looked knackered. I mean, but I think you're right, Steve. I think the thing is, because like I say, they knew they if they had to, they'd be able to win at Altrincham. And like I say, I think another day we do. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of knew that, you know, they would have known on the way back from Chesterfield that it is done now. So I think really going into, because and I think they also knew deep down that you can't even think, yeah, we've got a chance getting someone against Wrexham. You've got to get it done before that. You can't have it going into a home game against, you know, champions or not. So I think you're right. The Chesterfield game, they've probably gone into it thinking, shit, we've worked really hard to get to this point, but we've actually got to really win this one. Yeah. But you're right. Chesterfield are a frighteningly good side.
Yeah, like, very good.
I still think
I like to see it as well.
They are the best side that I've seen this season. And I've seen us at home to Wrexham. I've seen both Notts County games and I've seen us on the telly away at Chesterfield, at home to Chesterfield. Chesterfield, by far and large, are the best side that I've seen this season. I genuinely really hope they go up.
I also hope they go up because I think it'd just be hilarious if Notts County don't. I want that to keep going. I'm happy to put that on the record. Notts County, I want you to stay.
And it's more likely to put the second two up, two down if Notts County don't go up.
Oh, actually, that's true.
Not that it affects us anymore.
It's not our concern.
Well, not for a year. Yeah.
but you're quite right. Chesterfield are head and shoulders really above.
Yeah, that Wrexham game was interesting. I almost thought of Wrexham because like the way they moved the ball around, it was definitely football that's going to work in League 2 and possibly League 1 for half an hour. But then it kind of got to the point when they just couldn't get past Halstead and they went, oh, we've won the league anyway. And then we kind of upped our game a bit. I kind of felt in that game. But
I Johnson said in the run-up to that, didn't he, that he was hoping that if they had the title sorted, that they might be on the beach already. I just think that would be an all right thing to say in any other season, but with the points tally Wrexham had, I just think they could put out a reserve team and do us over. As it happened, you know, we didn't play badly. They had a lot of the ball, but that was fine. We played, to be fair, that last day. I thought we played that game exactly as we could have to try and do what we needed to. It was never going to happen. I saw that Ben Foster of YouTube fame. By the way, if you're going to get his photo in Playmore, I'm not your friend. So if that was you, that's not for me. But he said in his post match thing that they should have won that 6 or 7-1, and I was like, no, that wasn't.
But if you didn't pay the ref off, that was never a foul. He has dropped that cross, by the way. Never a foul.
Yeah, no, not a foul. I haven't seen that.
Just because it's Ben Foster, and oh yeah, he must have been fouled then. Yeah. So that was a joke. And fair play to him to leaving that in the video, to be fair. But that Wrexham game was weird because you won them up against top of the league, but you're still chasing 3 or 4 more goals.
Mm. Well, so that's the thing. I said to my mate, Asa Hall had a big header chance, didn't he, to make it 2-0?
Yeah.
And I was like, that would have been it. And I think all of Playmore in about 10 minutes where they were frantically trying to get the bloody internet to work.
I think there was more between the sides in us drawing 1-1 in our favour than there was in us losing 6-0 away. I maintain, as mad as it sounds, I maintain we were the better side that day that we were.
If there was something across the ball at Ross Marshall and Ali Omar, they just fell asleep.
They had, I think, 7 chances in the whole game, scored with 6 of them.
Yeah.
It was just everything they hit, including like volleys from the edge of the box that flew into the back of the net. And everything we tried, their 10 grand a week goalie and centre backs just managed to get away. It was toes on everything and fingertips over the bar and stuff. And we dominated possession and territory in that game and looked a better footballing side than they did.
But then that day, we got balls at the bottom of the league and then we never got out of the bottom four again.
No, that was it, you know. I
do want to say as well on the Wrexham thing, I know we're focusing on how bad Torquay are. Obviously, very good side. Well done to Wrexham. But there are reports that Ryan Reynolds and co are coming back to support Notts County in the playoff final. And if they're doing that, then that is absolutely flies in the face of everything that lower league football is about. You need to be rooting for the other team.
Yeah. Thanks, but no Yanks. Stay down.
It's things like that that make me miss crowd violence.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw Alfie Ingeharlam had to be escorted out of the ground the other night because he'd been having a go at some Man City fans. And I'm like, right, that's perfect for me. Let Hollywood mate you turn up and start giving it large. And then a Chesterfield fan throw like a burger at him or something, hit him square in the face. Get that on your fucking Disney
I would have so much respect for them if they came back to watch it wearing Chesterfield shirts. I would be all about that.
Yeah, you've been battling with this team all season. It's not old friendly camera. It's making me angry talking about it.
I've paid so much money as well, can I just point out. It's just because Wrexham's in the league means they're the underdogs, quote, of the title race.
Yeah, come now. I mean,
How good would it be that like the best season ever known in the National League, apart from Wrexham, if they don't go up? Because they are in so much trouble if they don't. I'm not being funny. Cameron's off. Rodriguez is off. Langstaff is surely
going to. They might even go if they go up. Because like Hartlepool lost those their players, like nowhere near the Kyber after.
Oh yeah, but if you think that they'll be in the league, whereas I think if they lose the final, I honestly think they've got a hell of a rebuilding job on. Mm. And their fans can say how much their owners love them. Not when you're in that much debt to them, they owe their owners
14 million.
Much. Yeah, you know, I love a lot of things, but I also love like I'd rather have. There's some things I'd love less than having £14 million, whatever it is.
Mm.
You know. I do think the Notts County season has shown like that all Notts County needed was a semi-competent manager that wasn't Birchnell
the budget they've got. I mean, it's like Pep Guardiola, congratulations, you've won Premier League Manager of the Season. It's like, really? He spent £1 billion over 4 years and he's won. All right, he's won the title. No, well done to you. Like, you've won what you set out to win. Nice. But come on, my dog could manage Man City and win the title. See also, I mean, Phil Parkinson, the National League Team of the Year is managed by Phil Parkinson. Wrexham got 111 points. Why didn't they get 139 or whatever the maximum is?
Because they didn't do it last season either.
Yeah, come on now. I mean, if you gave any manager, imagine giving Johnson that budget. It doesn't drop a point, guarantee it. We don't concede a goal. We don't drop a point. We certainly don't get held to a one-all draw by fucking relegating Torquay on the last day. Stupid.
And you certainly don't sign Brett McGavin.
Well, maybe you do. You just pay him more. I don't know. You tell me. I mean, would he have re-signed Billy Waters?
I was thinking about Billy Waters. Would he have done that? I don't know. I think with Billy Waters as well, like, going back to that chat, like, he actually started doing well at the end of the season, but how much of it, just him coming on and, like, if you just planted your foot, mate, we would be in League Two right now. That's what was going through my mind.
Yeah.
Because he was doing well into the running, and then he had an absolute disaster when he came in the playoff final, so...
I don't think he wasn't expecting to come on. Why are we talking about this fucking game?
I can't.
All roads lead to this.
Hartlepool came down. That's the one thing. We can't even play him.
No, we can't let that go by, can we? Well done, Hartlepool. Two seasons, you finished, I think, 17th and second from bottom.
And we would be in the one realistically by now if we had taken your place. So. And also, McDonald Coughlin, free agents. Interesting one.
Has McDonald been released?
Yeah, I believe I read yesterday in a WhatsApp chat somewhere. And I think Collins has as well, by Newport. We'll see where that goes.
The centre forward who plays at left wing back, is that him?
Yeah, basically.
Right, okay.
He's a hell of a...
He really improved, isn't he?
I wouldn't bother with McDonald.
Okay, if you're sure.
Because we've got Halstead on a year's deal.
I wouldn't bother going to the Ivy. There's a McDonald's next door.
No, but Halstead's arguably been one of the players of the season. I say he has. He's been one of the players of the season. So I don't.
I would vote him second or third place. I think,
you know, he's not going to be on low money either. I think. Look, McDonald did a good job at Torquay, but he did leave twice. You know,
interesting where he's going to end up now. Will he be a number two at another like a League Two team?
You know, good on him for giving it a go and good on him for getting league move, but he's turned down contracts at the end of the season twice now. I think it's like, no, that's done. Let him go and I genuinely hope he does go and do well. I mean, I could see him signing for Yeovil, to be honest, if they can get the capital. But Halstead, he was good enough in the conference. He'll certainly be good enough in the conference south. So there'd be no point in signing McDonald. But Collins, I'd 100% take.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And he would do well in the south.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Have we answered our central question? Where did it all go wrong? I think we probably have, haven't we?
Yeah, just too many of that type of player at the wrong time, really. I think that's what we've come down to. We've got to learn from the next season. I think we've covered all we can, really, to be honest.
While we've been live on air, Yeovil have announced a takeover.
Have they?
Yeah, another one. Yeah, that's not good, is it?
This is the problem about next season, though. If Yeovil actually go, well, we're going to get our acts together here.
Yeah, but the thing is... The thing is, they've got to wait until everything's done before they can actually start employing footballers.
Yeah.
They keep Cooper as well.
We're in the rare position where actually we've... You know, Johnson will be aware of players that will be coming out of contracts. And I think... It'll be a test of the ownership and Johnson if really in the next few weeks we should be announcing players that have agreed to sign or something.
Yeah, the squad should be done.
We've got, because we've kept a core of players that have actually ended the season in good form, where they've got to basically build a new team as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
So
And their manager's a bell end as well.
I always hated him. I've always liked Brett.
You know, I'm sure they've had adversity to deal with this season, but my God, you don't half hear about it from him, do you? Every interview. So hang on, mate. You've not gone into like the Wrexham job, you've gone into the Yeovil Town job, you're fucked. Yeah. Yeah. Let's not pretend you were sold a dream.
You know, he's had loads of things, hasn't he? He's one of those people who always seems to have controversy. I think we've covered it all. I think we've covered it up to that point.
Oh, hello. Is Dixon putting his hand up?
No, I'm just saying we're done. Well done.
We are. We've all done very well.
But yeah, that will do us for this episode, or part one of this kind of double thing. We don't know. It'll be soon, the next part. And we'll look at the retain list and players going, we could sign possibly. And they'll be covering that in the next part. So yeah, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining me, you three.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.